sacrifice.
Holy. That's your reasonable service. And we have not presented our body, given it to Christ, until we have surrendered it to Christ, letting him take full control of our lives. Jesus is saying to us, get under the yoke with me. What are the conditions for finding rest? There is only one condition. We must simply take Christ's yoke and begin to learn. And that word learn in the Greek is discipline. The learn of him. This means that we are to learn how to live and labor under his leadership, direction, guidance, and care. We live in a day and a time now when even church people are selfish. But yet they say they've been born again. It's hard for you to continue to be selfish if you've been born again. Don't not willing to share, not willing to give or forgive, but yet they'll tell you they've been born again. But how can that be when you're not willing to share even with the peoples of faith? But Jesus said, when you've been born again, you are a new creature. All things are passed away and all things become new. You're not perfect, but you ought to have a resemblance of Christ.
One time. Listen.
Glad I got Jesus down in my heart.
Glad I've got Jesus
down in my heart.
I'm glad I've got Jesus
down in my heart.
Check something.
Glad I've got Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I've got
Can I act all the
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand, listen, in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. One of the things that I am grateful to the good Lord about in his word that never fails, that never ceases to amaze me, is the wealth of information and knowledge in the scripture that has not yet been gotten out of scripture. When we read, when we listen or hear or participate in service where it's teaching going on or preaching going on, we ought to always want to have a ready mind to hear what the Spirit of the Lord have to say to each of us at the point of maturity where we are. He is our teacher. He brings to us new revelation, new understanding, new heights of inspiration when we open our spiritual ears and our hearts and our minds to his teaching. Now, one of the things, again, that Paul is saying to the Corinthians in this second chapter was the fact that he has determined to make sure that Christ was the central theme of his preaching. That Christ represented the centrality of all of his ministry work, both teaching, preaching, and living. And so one of the things that you will recognize is that all through Paul's writings, Paul continues to come back to the cross, come back the shedding of blood, come back to the price that Jesus Christ paid in his suffering, his death, his burial, and then his resurrection. And as he brings to us continually this theme of Jesus being crucified, it never ends with him being dead. The power is in the resurrection. The reason he keeps emphasizing he died is so we'll understand what he died for. If we understand what he died for and paid the price for, then we will not find ourselves trying to duplicate what he's paid for. You see, the enemy wants you to be ignorant. The enemy wants you to stay in darkness. The enemy wants you to be unaware of what has been done for you so that you'll know not how to enter in and get what's yours and to be able to stand on the authority of the word, because when you know that, then the enemy, who is already defeated, speaking about Satan, then he knows that he no longer have power over you or have the ability to reign over you. You can always come back and say, like Jesus said in the wilderness, it is written. And no matter what the devil does, no matter what he throws at you, no matter what the enemy comes or brings against you, when you know the power of the word of God, the price that Jesus paid, and the resurrection power that is now present in the believers' lives, the devil has no ability to bring you to a place where you cannot bring him down. So one of the things that I like about Paul's message and this work is he makes clear that the reason he keeps telling us this is because he wants to make sure we get the message. Now you do realize the reason why God leaves what he's printed in the word there is because many of us yet have not gotten the understanding of what he said the first time. And that's why God allows messages to be repeated in your hearing. And certainly if the preacher or the teacher is constantly looking for and pulling up fresh water from this old well, you will become more and more mature in that understanding. It'll take you deeper and deeper so that you may be able to do what that word empowers you to do. Don't ever get to the point and place where you think you know it all. This word Paul gives the Corinthians is so relevant to the body of Christ today. He tells them, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Well, when you look at that word crucified, it's in the perfect tense, which means it was an event that happened historically in the past, but it has continual effect in the present. And so that literally means just because he died 2,000 years ago and paid the penalty then does not mean it's not relevant today. What he bought back then is still paid for now. And he literally paid for all of your sins in advance, even of your showing up here on planet Earth. To understand all that he has done for you gives you power over the works of the enemy in your life and in your world. Now look at what he says. He says, "And I was with you," in verse 3, "in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, what was interesting about this was Paul wasn't talking about them, he was talking about himself. Amen. I was with you in weakness. Paul had physical weaknesses. He had gone to the Lord 3 times, asked him to heal his body. The Lord told him what? "My grace is sufficient for thee." See, that's why I gotta keep preaching the same thing, because you're not getting it. "My grace is sufficient for thee." 3 times Paul went to him. And when he told him that, then Paul understood, wait a minute, my weakness is not going to hold me back from doing what God has called me to do. Because in spite of my weakness, the power of the Spirit of God is able to accomplish what I've been assigned to do.
Now listen at this. Whatever your sickness, whatever your weakness, whatever it is that has you running less than full throttle, you need to understand God considered that before he ever called you. And it takes away the complaint that you can't do this and you can't do that because you're not up to par. I got news for you. You wasn't up to par before you were sick. So don't let that stop you. Don't let that slow you down. He said, in my weakness, he said also in fear. Well, don't you think, listen, if Paul had fears, you don't think we have fears? Don't think you get so super spiritual that you never have fears again. No, fears come, but you have the authority over those fears that the power of God through Jesus Christ is able to conquer every fear that comes your way. But it don't mean they won't come your way. It don't mean when God gives you an assignment, that assignment might not have fear connected with it. You have to go places you don't want to go, talk to folk you don't want to talk, deal with things you don't want to have to deal with. The enemy knows your weaknesses. He knows your issues. He knows all of those things that may bother you. And yet that fear has no problem when it comes to the authority and the anointing of God upon your life. And he says, in much trembling, he's been disputed all over Greece with the greatest philosophers. He was able to reason with them because of his learning, because that he knew. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned from him. He had many, many languages. He spoke fluently. And all of these things, Paul put all of that down because that was something more powerful than the wisdom of men. And look at what he says in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing, persuasive words of man's wisdom. In other words, Paul was trying to say, I didn't try and put on the dog, talk the talk, and I didn't try to use polysyllabics and multiple syllable words and strong talk and various languages to prove that I was intelligent and I was smart. I didn't come to you trying to blow your mind with how deep I was and have you wondering, what did I just say? And you had to say something so you didn't look crazy, like you didn't know what I was saying, even though you didn't know what I was saying. He made it clear, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Listen, I came to you with the simplicity of the gospel. I came trying to make it plain. What thus saith the Lord? I didn't have time for you trying to make me some elevated strong scholar, somebody that you would be in awe of rather than convicted by the Spirit of the living God from the Word of God. You were then looking at me like I was. He said, I didn't come to you like that. He made it clear that he was just an instrument and not the infinite. Somebody missed that. I'll say it again. He made it clear he was just the instrument and not the infinite. He was a finite being speaking to other finite beings about the infinite being who could do anything but fail. And so he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now get this now, because this is where I've been trying to get to since I started the message. The demonstration of the Spirit is the place of maturity for the believer who's word conscious. In other words, when you get enough word in you, when you've grown enough in the Lord, you stop being a hearer only of the word and become a doer of the word. You begin to trust what God has said and operate in faith. You begin to say, Lord, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm looking for you to do what you said you're going to do. You don't waver. You don't doubt. You say, he may not show up today, but I'll be right here tomorrow. I know that sooner or later, what he promised me is going to happen. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter who's walked out on me, turned their backs on me, no longer with me, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. I'm gonna hold on till my change comes. You start demonstrating the things of the Spirit. Listen, you begin to put God, listen, at that place of proving himself, which is where God wants to be in your life. God, you said it, I believe that. Now guess what's the next move? Yours. I believe what you told me. I've done what you said. Now you got to do your part. See, when you put it back on God, when you've done what God has required of you, God is no shorter than his word. He's not a man that he should lie. What he promised, he will perform. And you begin to operate in the spirit of things. You begin to call those things that be not as though they were. You begin to cancel out stuff that didn't come against you that was not authorized to come against you. You begin to tell the enemy, you've had too much too long in my life. It's time for you to get on out of here. You no longer have the opportunity nor the place in my life that you once had, and you cast him out. You learn to take authority over the situation because you've been given the keys to bind and to loose. You begin to walk in authority so much so that the enemy is served notice that you're a child of the Most High God, and that what you are saying, God is backing up. Paul said, in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. God wrought many miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 12 talks about handkerchiefs and aprons were placed on his body and then taken to the sick. Listen, and diseases departed and demons left. Now listen, handkerchiefs and aprons. Handkerchiefs and aprons. You do know he was a tent builder, don't you? And when the anointing was upon Paul and Paul was ministering and he wiped his brow and he pulled off that apron And people were like, Paul, I need you to come. Somebody is sick. Paul said, I can't go, but take this handkerchief. Here, take this apron. And the Bible says God wrought many miracles by the hands of Paul. That anointing was so powerful and so rich that that handkerchief and that apron was used as a point of contact. When you begin to believe the word of God, and Paul was trying to say, I'm setting the atmosphere for God to do great and mighty things. You've got to have the faith to believe that they will happen like he said. The scripture reveals that Paul was preaching sometime and the Holy Ghost just came over folk and men got healed, got delivered, got set free, got saved just from the preaching of the gospel. When the atmosphere is right and the Holy Ghost can flow, great and mighty things can happen. I wish I had a witness here. And that's the kind of preaching and teaching Paul was instituting in the hearts, the lives, and ministry churches of Corinth. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Stop quenching the Holy Ghost. Stop talking against the Holy Ghost. Stop trying to control the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost and do what he wants to do in your midst. He's ready to demonstrate his power in the midst of believers. I'm trying to preach faith to you because I'm trying to get you ready for what's getting ready to come. I'm trying to get you ready for the move of God that's coming through. I want you to be in position so when the Holy Ghost starts moving, you can get yours. You've been waiting a long time, but I got news for you. Help is on the way. We need to preach the word of God so that your faith is developed and elevated to receive. Listen to what he says in verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith, which was not born of men, your faith, which was not formed of men, your faith, which was not fed by men, and your faith, which was not founded by men. Don't let your faith be in a place where it cannot grow or receive what God has for you. And listen to this. But that the power of God would be the reality of what your faith rests in.